Good morning, and we hope this is a good morning for you. Let's ask God to bless our time, and again, we want him to accomplish his will. Father, we do thank you. We thank you that you are with us, you are for us, and we just pray for each one in their unique situations, their unique setting, that you might bless them, and may this be part of doing that as you work in and through the words that are spoken. May it draw us to your word and draw us to yourself and accomplish your best. So we just ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you feel that you're in the wilderness? We know there are people that are in discouraging and difficult situations. A good friend of mine just lost his job. We know of loved ones who are battling cancer. And we know those who have lost loved ones. So, you know, we go through the issues of life, and then we add to that what is going on around us with the virus and just the complications of life. I think of the rioting happening in the States. We look around and we think, whoa, what a rugged time. What a wilderness time. Well, we come to a passage, and it's an extension of our study in Psalm 62, and today we want to come to Psalm 63. And I want to read the introduction of this psalm, and it gives us the context. A psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. He was in the wilderness. Now, he was in the wilderness because he was fleeing from his son Absalom, who was trying to kill him, and Absalom's cohorts to take his life. When we read these words, and I've read these previously in our context of Psalm 62, but in 2 Samuel 15, just again to give our historical backdrop, then a messenger came to David saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are with Absalom. David said to all his servants who were with him at Jerusalem, arise and let us flee. Now notice, flee. For otherwise none of us will escape from Absalom. Go in haste, or he will overtake us quickly and bring down calamity on us. And you think, wow. And strike the city with the edge of the sword. If they lag behind, death would be a certainty for David and his followers. Then we read these words in the same chapter, 2 Samuel 15, in verse 23. For all the country was weeping with a loud voice. It's somewhat similar. We think of some of the things that are going on, especially in the States, weeping. While all the country was weeping with a loud voice, and all the people passed over, the king who passed over the brook of Kidron, and all the people passed over toward the way of the wilderness. The wilderness. David was running for his life. He was running into the wilderness. It was a season of wilderness. Now again, that may be very applicable. We may not be running for our lives, although some people in our world are, but we're struggling with what's going on and how long will it go on. We come to this passage and we ask the question, when you're in the wilderness, what do you seek? Where are you looking to for help? As we enter this passage of seeking God, on the very front door, we read, oh, God, oh, God. Now, sometimes I hear people say that as there's some event that's extraordinary or they're overwhelmed by it, and they say that with no sense of the reality of really what they're saying. But David knew. He says, oh God, oh God. He turns his focus to the Lord. And then he says this, you are my God. You, God, are my God. Notice the personal relationship, my. Now, obviously, as we think of this, the question comes to mind, do you have a personal relationship? Can you say my God? You know, a lot of people say, oh God, but can you say my God? Is he yours? Only by trusting in Christ. Remember what Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. We certainly hope today that you have come to the Father through the Lord Jesus, that you put your faith in Christ and him alone for your salvation. Then you can say, if that's what you have done somewhere along your journey, if you have done that, you can say, my God, my God. Now, as we look at this, it's interesting to note the word used for God in this passage. It's a little Hebrew word, El, and it refers to God as a God of power, of power. It notes him in his absolute strength. Now, that's essential for us to remember, isn't it? When we're going through hard times, we need to look to a God who is adequate for our situation, a God of power. And that's what we find in this passage, God of power. And maybe that's where you need to run right now. Run today to him. Now, as we look at this, he says, you are my God, I shall seek you earnestly. I shall seek you earnestly. Now, in the New King James, it reads this way, early will I seek you, early. Interesting. It says earnestly, and then it says in another version, early. And so what is the idea here? Well, the word derives from a word for the dawn of the morning. And so that gets the idea of early. But earnestly comes into play because, as one has puts it, to seek someone early suggests doing so earnestly. You know, if you're seeking the Lord, you seek him like, oh man, I need the Lord desperately. There's an earnestness about it. And oftentimes it's an early earnestness. You're going after him, trying to seek him in your during your situation, in your time of wilderness. Seeking him. Now, of course, hopefully, as we've already said, you've sought him early on to as your Savior. You know, someone shared the gospel with you that Christ died for you and rose from the dead and he can save you, and you've trusted him. And if you haven't, today's an awesome, great day to do that. But for those of us who have our faith in him, we can say, my God, my powerful God, I seek you, I seek fellowship with you, is the idea here. He already knows him as his Savior, as he says, my God. But now he continues to seek a close, intimate relationship with the Lord. He wants to draw near to the Lord, to walk close to the Lord. You know, just as Paul said, and this should continue through our Christian life, just as it apparently did with Paul. And he says in Philippians 3, that I may know him. That I may know him. Well, Paul already knew the Lord in measure, but he wanted to continue to get to know the Lord more and more. And that's the way it should be for us. In all seasons of our life, we need to get to know him better, get to know him more, so we can trust him more carefully, more specifically. Now, of course, the question comes for us, do we desire to get to know the Lord? Even as Christians. Now, how do we get to know the Lord? Where do we go? Well, we need to go to what he has said about himself and his ways. And so we go to the Word, we open up this book, and we begin to look to learn about him. And he wants us to seek him through his book, through his word, the living word of God. But, you know, sometimes the book, God's Bible, for some, it's not really living words. It's kind of like boring words. You know, some people are not all that interested, you know, about this book. But God has given us this book, his letter to us, his letter of love to us, to open up our understanding of him, how we need to spend time with him. Now, again, we think of, if you were raised in a church, you know, the talk of devotions, having devotions. Now, what that means is a devoted time to spend to get to know the Lord through the Word. And God would long for us to come close to him in a time of opening up his book and learning of him. Now, of course, we need to challenge ourselves. You know, sometimes we just get lazy. Sometimes we're so preoccupied. Sometimes we're distracted. And God says, no, 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 give attention to me. There's a poem I came across sometime back. We mutter, we sputter, we fume, and we spurt. We mumble, we grumble, our feelings get hurt. We can't understand things. Our vision grows dim when all that we need is time with him. Now, I don't know if you find yourself in that list. But I think we all do at times, right? We're muttering and sputtering, upset, frustrated, sometimes mad at God. And we don't know him. We've not drawn near to him. We're not taking advantage of the opportunity we have. And God says, no, no, no. No matter what season you're in, draw near to me. We read on in our passage. We're still in verse 1. Oh God, you are my God. I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My soul thirsts for you. Do you remember a time you were really thirsty? In the past, I'm sure I've shared this story because it comes to my mind when I read a passage like this. When I was raised on the prairies in Kansas, and on the plains, one of the major crops was wheat. And so we would raise wheat. And at harvest time, we would cut our wheat. When the grain was ready, we would cut as fast as we could. And we would work right through lunch hours. And so what that would mean is my dear mom, she would... you would be looking for around noon, and finally you'd see a car coming, and you'd see maybe the top of it and coming down a dirt road where our field might be, and you'd see some dirt, you know, a kind of a little trail of dirt as she was driving that car. But you know what that meant. Mom was a wonderful cook, and she was bringing, instead of us going to town to eat at home, she would come to us and feed us. We'd sit in the car and eat a wonderful meal, beautiful meal. But with that, she would bring a quart jar of iced tea. and that was the highlight. Because you would get, it was so hot and dry and dusty when you were harvesting wheat. And, you know, the blowing wind and all that just wear you out. But you'd take that iced tea along with mom's wonderful meal, and you were so refreshed, but you were so thirsty before she got there. And, you know, God wants us to thirst after, not just iced tea, but to thirst after him, to have a craving for him. My soul thirsts for you. What are you looking to quench your inner thirst, not just your physical thirst, but your emotional and spiritual thirst? Where are you looking? Where am I looking? This passage challenges us. You know, some people, we live in a world, if you can just make more money, if you can just get more money, you know, it will meet your need. And how we see a lot of times that turns out so sad. And then other people, if I can just have more pleasure, I think one of the big pushes of our culture. If you just listen to what people are talking about and kind of how they're living, it seems like everything for many, many people melts down to what makes me most pleasurable, what feels good. If it feels good, do it. And people are doing what they think will make them feel good. But in the end, oftentimes they just end up so desperately sad. And then, you know, we look for relationships, and we had the phrase that it's not as popular now, but used to be codependency, and people look to relationship. Now, we need relationships, right? We long for relationships. But if we're looking to another human being to meet our deepest inner need, it's going to fall through. Because no other human being can meet our deepest need. Only God can do that. Money can't do it. Pleasure can't do it. Another person can't do it. But God can do it. So we need to seek after Him and look to Him and find our satisfaction and our thirst quenched by Him to meet our deepest needs. Notice the passage says, "My soul thirsts for you." For you. This is another wonderful passage, and you've probably read it various times before, but Psalm 42, it says, "As a deer pants for the water brooks." You think of a deer looking for water, right? And panting, kind of gant, you know, looking for water. And then, "So my soul pants for you, O God." That's the kind of thirst we should have. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God, the living God. Having a longing for Him to meet our need. My soul longs for you. My flesh longs for you. One puts it this way and challenges us again. When you get right down to it, we thirst so little for the important things of life, and we accept too much that which is strictly superficial. Now, if you take a look, and you take an honest look inward, isn't that true? A lot of times we're looking the wrong places for the wrong stuff that can't meet a need. Notice what David goes on to say in his situation. In a dry and weary land where there is no water. Now that reminds us, this is where David was at. This was his historical context. He's in the wilderness. And it's, as one puts it, it's a parched, thirsty desert of sand. What desperation. You know, just look around you. Nothing's growing. The wind's blowing. And it's just the sand is just going right through your skin, and you think, oh, and that maybe that's the way you feel emotionally. But David said, in a drear and weary land, and it reminds him that his external circumstances are reminding him how thirsty he is internally for relationship with the Lord. In a dry and a weary land where there is no water. Do you see that? There is no water. I get an illustration from my past. Marty and I, years back, my wife and I lived in Dallas, and we moved to California. But to get from Dallas to California in a U-Haul truck, by the way, we had to drive through the desert. And I had never been in that kind of desert before. And we're driving through this desert, and it was just desolate. Totally desolate. And I remember the sign. There was alongside the road, there was like a 55-gallon drum. And the sign next to it said, "No water for the next 100 miles. It didn't say, "No restaurant for the next 100 miles. It didn't say, "No gas station for the next 100 miles. It says no water. And there was water in that 55-gallon drum to put in your car if you had overheated and lost the fluid in your engine, in your radiator. And, you know, I thought, whoa, where are we at and where are we going? God says, you know what? We do go through times that it's desolate. We go through times where it's a desert. We go through times of wilderness, seasons of wilderness. But you know what? It reminds us, ultimately there's an internal thirst. And that internal thirst can only be met by a sovereign, loving God. We read on. "Thus I have seen," now David's reflecting back, "Thus I have seen you in the sanctuary. with the same desire, David reflects back on a time when he had fellowship with God in the past, in the sanctuary. Or we think of the holy place for the Jewish people in the tabernacle. And we think of the, it was a place, it was a special place for fellowship with God for the Jewish believer. Now, today, you know, you don't have to be in a building to have fellowship with God. You don't have to be in a special place. We can have fellowship with God wherever we're at. And that's a wonderful thing because the Spirit of God is in the believer and with the believer. And we can draw near to the Lord wherever we're at, whenever we are in any kind of a situation. And so he says, but he's remembering back the times that he's had unique, special fellowship with the Lord in the sanctuary. You know, it reminds me of this. And I think it's important for us to remember David had fellowship, close fellowship with the Lord before he was in this wilderness experience. You know, and that is a challenge to us. You know, sometimes people, they get in a very difficult circumstance. You know, life is falling apart. And they say, where's God? And they're mad at God, right? Well, a lot of times they had never drawn near to the Lord before they got into the mess. You know, life is broken and things won't work. But we need to be drawing near to the Lord in the times that things are smoother so that we're prepared for the times when they get rough. And David had done that. He was prepared for this wilderness experience because he had been drawing near to the Lord before he was in the wilderness. Now, if you're in the wilderness right now and you had, you know, been careless about the past, there's still hope. It will be somewhat more difficult because you don't know God that well. You're not in his word that much. But you can still come to him through his word and begin to know his presence. Begin to have fellowship with him, whatever your circumstance. But it is far better for us to be in right relationship with him as a believer, in healthy fellowship with him, before we hit the skids, before we hit the crisis. God is trying to awaken us. And David is an example of having your relationship with the Lord before you go into the wilderness. And that helps us. It's a pattern for us that we need to heed. May we draw near to him, whether it's a good day or a bad day. Draw near to him. Now notice, David says, he's talking about, thus, I have seen you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. When David had been spending time with the Lord, he had a glimpse of God's power. He knew about God's power. You know, we think of wonderful passages in Scripture, but as we have said when we studied Psalm 62, it says in verse 11 of Psalm 62, power belongs to God. Power belongs to God. We need to remember, nothing is too difficult for him, as it says in Jeremiah. He has great power. And you know what? We need great confidence in his power. Knowing that, you know what? Whatever the day holds, he's sufficient to get me through this day. Because of his power. And notice it says, and glory. Our passage talks about God's power and glory, your glory. Now, glory is referring to the display of God's excellence, his attributes, all that God is, how awesome he is, his glory, his attributes, his excellence. David had learned somewhat of God's excellence, of God's characteristics, of his attributes. And that was so critical. And especially one of God's attributes, one of the wonderful attributes that we find such great comfort in, is his love. Notice it goes on down in verse 3 and it says, because of your loving kindness, because it is better than life. God's loving kindness. And the New Living Translation translates the phrase, your unfailing love. I think that is a wonderful way to put it. your unfailing love, his love that will not fail us, that will not let us down. And this love, David says, is better than life. You know, we think of this pandemic and we think, well, I don't want to get sick and die, right? But there's something even better than life, and that is God's love. His love that will not fail us, it will not desert us, it will not abandon us. I read in Psalm 136, and this is just a small portion of this wonderful passage, but it begins at verse 1, Psalms 136. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his faithful love endures forever. Just let that soak in. And the psalmist continues to remind us. He says, give thanks to the God of gods, for his faithful love endures forever. His faithful love endures forever. And then he goes on in verse 3, give thanks to the Lord of lords, his faithful love endures forever. And verse 4, give thanks to the Lord who alone does mighty miracles. His faithful love endures forever. And it goes on down. It continues to repeat, his faithful love endures forever. Hudson Taylor, missionary to China years back, had gone through many, many difficult things. He had had many losses, and one of his losses was the loss of his dear little daughter, Gracie. She had died. And Hudson made this comment. He says, at times I can almost hear again the sweet voice of little Gracie. And then he talks about other losses, other heartbreaks. And then he says, at night God smooths my pillow, and in the morning he wakes my heart to his love. You see, life is not necessarily painless. In fact, if you are alive, you will experience pain. But we can also draw near to the Lord and enjoy his love that will never fail us. Romans 8:38 in one version reads, I am convinced that nothing can separate us from his love. Death can't, life can't, the angels can't, the demons can't, our fears for today, our worries about tomorrow, and even the powers of hell can't keep God's love away. Whether we are high above the sky or deep in the deepest ocean, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And that gives reason for praise. Another passage in the Old Testament, Psalm 117, reads this. Praise the Lord, all nations. Praise him, all you people of the earth, for he loves us with unfailing love. And that's where David's at, because he says, my lips will praise you. We'll praise you. You see, when we understand God and his power and his love, the normal response is praise. God, thank you for who you are. Thank you for who you are to me, to bring praise to him. Praise is really the outworking of fellowship with God. As we get to know God, we're drawn near to God. It's normal that we praise God when we see how wonderful and awesome he is. Verse 4 goes on to say in our passage, so I will bless you as long as I live. He says, remember in verse 3, my lips will praise you. And then he says, so I will bless you as long as I live. As long as we're on the planet, as we know the Lord and we get to know him more and more, we'll praise him because of who he is. As we get to know who he is, we'll bring praise to him because of his greatness. And he says in verse 4 again, I will lift up my hands, you know, the wholehearted worship. I'll lift up my hands in your name. What a wonderful God. What a wonderful God. Now, as we ponder this passage to this point, the question comes, what are we thirsting for? What are we craving? I was thinking about this candy bar. This is actually one of my wife's favorite candies, so I kind of snuck it out of the house. But anyway, you know, now, I don't have anything against chocolate. But you know what? There's a lot of times things in life we crave. You know, we crave chocolate. You know, like someone said, give me the chocolate and no one will get hurt, right? Well, we crave chocolate, or we crave this pleasure, or we crave, you know, a certain amount of money, or we crave, you know, some kind of opportunity to do something unique. We crave those things. And those things may not necessarily be wrong at all. But if those cravings are distracting us from the ultimate satisfaction in God, we're selling ourselves short. You see, we're all going to go through wilderness experience. None of us are exempt. And the question for all of us is, who am I seeking to satisfy my soul in the wilderness times of life? May God so work. May God bring to our attention the need to seek Him through His Word. Now maybe, as we think of just practically what we should do, maybe this is a week you need to go to God's book, maybe Psalm 63, maybe to another psalm that has touched your heart, but go to a passage of Scripture and just absorb yourself in that passage this week. Just allow God's Word to give you a sense of who God is, a greater insight into who He is. Craving, seeking Him. So no matter whether you're in a wilderness or you're going into a wilderness or you're coming out of a wilderness, may we all seek the Lord, because He is our ultimate satisfaction in the wilderness times and in all the other times. May we seek Him. Let's pray. God, we thank You. We thank You. We thank You that You are adequate. You are sufficient. You are wonderful. And as we draw near to You, no matter what kind of situation we're in, You are sufficient for our situation. And for those who right now are in the wilderness, that season of life that they're finding so hard, we entrust them, we encourage them to draw near to You. May You encourage them, nudge them to just draw near and seek You, the One who alone can satisfy their deepest needs. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.